Now, today, the NHS is inviting staff and patients to have their say on the service that they offer. And I've been joined in the studio, I'm delighted to say, by Meeta Vaux from Cambridge, who's just been telling us her story, her life turned upside down, basically, last September. And since then, she has had a double mastectomy, one ovary and one fallopian tube removed. Meeta, you always get the feeling that this is when, despite all the criticism, the NHS comes into its own when it's dealing with people with a crisis in their life like you. How do you view the treatment that you received?
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, I couldn't fault it at all, really. I think when it comes to cancer and probably emergency services as well, it just you feel so lucky to live in this country. I mean, I know we complain about, you know, of course there were delays with appointments and, you know, admin things, and there's always a few little gripes here and there. But, you know, overall, they have, I my life was in their hands, and 5 months later, two massive tumours have just melted away. And that's, you know, the quality, the professionalism of the oncologists and the staff have been phenomenal. I mean, the one thing is I guess with this genetic, the BRCA1 issue, is that so little is known about it. And, you know, they're constantly discovering new things, but it's a really, really complicated issue. And I guess some, you know, GPs don't know very much about it, and even oncologists don't know what the geneticists know. And I guess for me, it would be something more around communication between all of the professionals involved in my treatment on the genetic side, because for me, that's been more frightening than the cancer. Is, you know, the cancer has an end goal and treatment, whereas a gene you have for life, and it's you're always going to live with a slight fear and, you know, something hanging over you. So anything they can do to improve, to increase awareness and knowledge around the genetic status. And the other thing is, I'd say, is I use the patient liaison service at Adam Brooks quite a bit. So if I did have any issues, and again, you know, the very tiny ones, PALs are brilliant. I would really recommend, if anyone ever has anything they want to feed back to hospitals, to use the PALs service.
I was going to ask you about communication, and you mentioned it a couple of times then, because, you know, going back 30, 40 years ago, when my parents both died of cancer, you didn't know anything. Nobody told us, the next of kin, anything. Nobody told the patient anything, really. You were all kept completely in the dark. You knew what was going on because it was pretty obvious, but you weren't told. Now, are you communicated with at all times and told exactly what's what?
Yeah, it's still probably one of the weaker areas, something that, you know, I mean, I guess I'm unusual. I like to know everything, and I wanted to know, you know, the pathology report, and I wanted to see everything that was happening so I could have control. Other people probably aren't like that, but it sounds like it's become much better and good at keeping the family involved, particularly when it comes to a genetic condition that might affect the rest of the family. But I think it something that they were trialling at Adam Brooks was email communication between patient and consultants, and I found that really good. It just meant that I didn't have to wait for my monthly appointment to get answers to things that were keeping me awake at night. So I could email my consultant and they'd respond, and I know security is probably the thing that the biggest worry in that kind of communication. But for me, the convenience and the ease and just being able to put my mind at rest on a regular basis was brilliant and worth any security risk there might be at the moment. And I know the doctors found it very helpful as well. So it'd be great if it moved in that direction, because waiting for letters to arrive that take a month is just...
Yeah, absolutely. Does you no good at all. I mean, what was the prognosis when it was first diagnosed? Did they say that the outcome would be, thankfully, what it is now? Or were you given warnings?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not something they tell you, really, unless you ask. And it took me a while to be ready to ask. But it would have, you know, if I'd left it, it would have become untreatable within a few months, and I would have died within a year or two. Because it was very quite aggressive, which is quite a quick growth for a cancer. I think it'd be good if they gave you different scenarios. But this is the best scenario anyone could have hoped for. I mean, they're quite astounded, really, at how it responded to treatment.
And just finally, you said that you've been given the all clear, but you did sort of qualify that by saying as all clear as it can ever be, because we all know what can happen. So the all clear, how often do you have to go back now?
It only happened last week, so I'm not really sure. I've actually got a course of radiotherapy starting next week just to eliminate anything left. But I think it'll be every few months and then every year. And then I think it's 5 years before you get an official status. I mean, I'll be on drugs for 15 years.
And will it worry you throughout that time? Will you be thinking every time you've got to go back again, oh no?
Possibly, but I think the worry just becomes a very different kind of worry. It becomes more of a, God, I'm just so lucky, and I just, you know, appreciate, you know, it's a lovely sunny day, and I just appreciate, I appreciate small things a lot more. So it's just, I think when you've had shock like that and fear like that, anything compared to that isn't nearly as bad. I mean, the one thing that does worry me is the ovarian cancer, and it's actually Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month this month. So I did want to just mention Ovarian Cancer Action, and they've got things on their websites of ways of seeing what ovarian cancer symptoms are, because that is a difficult one to spot. And I think if everyone is, for me, it would be about being BRCA aware. So just taking your family history seriously, and looking out for ovarian cancer signs if you do think you have the genetic status. But
good advice. Well, can I just say that I knew I was going to be talking to you because we sorted this out at the end of last week, and I really didn't know what to expect with somebody who's been through as much as you've been through. And can I just say, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
You really do. It is not what I expected, really. And, that's all I can offer is what it appears to be, but you do look so well, and let's hope that it continues.
Well, there's a bit of hair growing back under this hat, but I'm not quite ready to face the world with it yet. But, yeah, no, it's not, you know, the whole chemo image and so on, it's a bit of a myth now. I think the treatment's so good. Yeah. And when you're young, especially, you do recover very well in terms of health and appearance.
Well, look, long may it continue. And thanks so much for coming in. All the very best.
Thanks.
Cheers. That was Amita Vaux, and talking about her wonderful experience with the NHS, given the situation that she found herself in. And your comments on that or anything else that matter, most welcome throughout the programme.